we have been on a little bit of an excursion at this point based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. So at this point, if you'll turn back there with me, let's go ahead and continue and resume our study here in 1 Corinthians. And again, we're on a little bit of an excursion at this point. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time that we can spend in your word this morning and the privilege of having your word. And we pray for insight and wisdom as we do so, especially as we continue to look at this issue of not just following Paul, but following Paul as he followed Christ. And we'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we've spent a number of weeks together really on a little bit of an excursion dealing with this passage here, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 1. And we want to try to bring this excursion, wrap it up this morning, and then starting next week to get back in earnest into the verse-by-verse study of 1 Corinthians. So we'll just see if we can't wrap this up this morning. It's a lot of material yet to cover, so we'll just have to see how we go. But what we have mentioned is Paul, based upon 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul clearly followed Christ. There's no doubt about that. And you and I are supposed to follow Paul. We're not supposed to exalt the man. We're not supposed to boast in the man. Rather, we are supposed to follow him in the doctrine. What doctrine? The doctrine that was given to him by the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ," again, notice a couple of passages. We've done this a few times, but let me just bring this back to your frame of reference. Back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." And then Philippians chapter 3, turn over to Philippians chapter number 3, and notice what he says here. Philippians chapter 3, and he says at verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." If you don't understand and appreciate the distinctive and separate ministry apostleship of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle of the Gentiles, you're going to really struggle with those verses right there when he says, "Be ye followers of me." As an example, when I go out and talk to people about Christ, I don't tell them to follow me. When you go out and talk to people about Christ, you don't tell them to follow you. Because you understand that that would not be right. That would be wrong, spiritually speaking. So if it would be wrong for you or for me to tell people to follow me, or you to tell people to follow you, how come it's not wrong for Paul to be telling the saints to be following him? Well, remember the clarification that he gives over in 1 Corinthians 11 when he says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." He is not exalting himself. He's not telling the believers to follow him as a man. Rather, he's telling the believers to follow Paul in the doctrine that was committed to his trust by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about when he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." If you'll look back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 again. In fact, do this. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and notice at verse 12. Real interesting, if you take the time to stop and think about this a little bit. He says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" And then he says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name." You see how Paul is concerned with several things here in these verses. He's concerned that the believers at Corinth are breaking up into these various divisions. One of those divisions would be claiming, "I am of Paul." Paul expresses his concern that he thanked God that he baptized none of them, lest any should say that he baptized in his own name. Now, wouldn't that be somewhat contradictory if in chapter number 1 he says, hey guys, I stopped baptizing, lest people should say I baptized in my own name. Wouldn't it be kind of contradictory if Paul is saying to the Corinthians, you guys are breaking up into these carnal divisions, and some of you guys are saying, I am of Paul, and yet over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Well, wait a minute, Paul. Chapter number 1, you're chastising them for saying they're following you. In chapter number 4, you say to follow you. Isn't that a contradiction? I think it was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. Oh, let's see. I'm trying to remember the details. Sometimes the details of a conversation get a little foggy and so forth. But I was having a conversation with someone. I don't remember exactly all the details right now. But I was having a conversation with someone who had expressed some of this information about the distinctive ministry of Paul to one of their family members. And their family members were saying that, well, wait a minute, you guys are exalting the man Paul. You guys are making a cult out of Paul and so forth. And the passage that they went to was this passage over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In fact, if I remember correctly, they said they had just studied that at church. And that their preacher was saying, you know, you don't want to follow a man. It's wrong to follow a man. And that's how denomination started. And that here they were even following the Apostle Paul. And Paul chastises them for following him. And I got to thinking about that well, you know, if that's all Paul is saying, then isn't Paul contradicting himself? And then in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, he says, now this, verse 12, now this I say that every one of you saith, I am of Paul. And I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. And that Paul's concerned that any should say he baptized in his own name. Wouldn't Paul be contradicting himself if he says that in chapter number 1, and if in chapter number 4 he says, be ye followers of me? So what in the world's going on there? Well, of course, it's pretty simple, friends, that he doesn't want them to follow him as a man. He doesn't want them to exalt in himself just as Paul, the man. Rather, when he says, be followers of me, be followers together of me, he's talking about the doctrine. He's talking about following the Apostle Paul as he followed Christ in the doctrine that he was preaching. Following Paul as he followed Christ in specifically the doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ taught him and gave to him to preach among the Gentiles. And that's what, of course, we're going to look at today. You stay there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, and let us remind ourselves again about this very important passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. Now, watch this here. 1 Corinthians 4, 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Okay, stop there for just a moment. The Corinthians obviously had a whole bunch of instructors. Spiritually, they were not doing very well. Therefore, it's pretty obvious that these instructors, when you look at what these instructors were teaching human viewpoint, human wisdom. That's why the Corinthians weren't doing it very well. Yeah, these 10,000 instructors obviously were not teaching them the right information. Paul says at verse 15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, wherefore I beseech you be followers of me for this cause. Verse 17, for this cause. For what cause? Well, the cause that you have these 10,000 instructors, but they're not teaching the right information, you need to come follow Paul in order to bring you back on track to what Paul's teaching. He says at verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. Now watch this. Who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul sends Timotheus to the Corinthians to bring them back on track with and in accordance with the doctrine that Christ gave to Paul for this dispensation of grace. When he says, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. My ways, which be in Christ. Paul's ways, which be in Christ, were different than Peter's ways, which be in Christ. And he says here, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. Paul followed Christ all right, but he did not follow him according to the Jewish prophetic kingdom program. And we've looked at that extensively over the last 4 weeks. Paul followed Christ all right, but he did not follow Christ in preaching, quote, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, end quote. Paul followed Christ, but he did not follow Christ in upholding and recognizing, or I should say, Paul did not follow Christ in praying the so-called Lord's Prayer, the prayer of Matthew chapter number 6. Paul followed Christ, but he did not follow Christ with the idea that the middle wall of partition was up, as it was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Paul followed Christ, but he did not follow Christ in promoting, proclaiming, carrying on, fulfilling the so-called Great Commission, the commission of Matthew 28. Paul followed Christ, but he did not follow Christ in the idea of leading and teaching and guiding his audience to make preparations to go through the tribulation period. You see, so Paul did not follow Christ in any of those aspects, although the 12 apostles did. Paul has a separate and distinct apostleship and ministry from that of the 12 apostles. So, and again, we looked at that in detail in the last four to five weeks, and we're not going to go back and teach all that. You can go back into our website and you can get those messages. Well, if Paul didn't follow Christ according to the instructions that you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then how did he follow Christ? How could he say he followed Christ? How could he say, be a follower of me, even as I also am of Christ, when he didn't follow Christ? At least he didn't follow him according to the instructions that Christ gave in the Gospel, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He followed Christ, friends, he followed the Lord Jesus Christ in accordance with what Paul calls the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. He followed Christ in accordance with some information that Jesus Christ committed to him that had been kept secret since the foundation of the world, and that he first revealed to, and then of course through, the Apostle Paul. Now, if you'll look with me at over to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians and chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1 at verse 11. He says here, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." The gospel that the Apostle Paul proclaimed, the information the Apostle Paul proclaimed, he did not go back to those that were apostles before him and tell and say to them, you know, "Peter, you need to teach me what Christ taught you so I can go teach it to the Gentiles." He says, "The gospel which was preached of me is not after man." It was not after man's invention or creation. He says, "For I neither received it of man." He did not go to Peter and get it. He did not go to Isaiah and get it, or Jeremiah, or Daniel, or Moses. He did not go to King David's information, the writings in the Old Testament, to get it. That's not where he got it. He says, "Neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul received a direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself personally. Let me say that again. The Apostle Paul received a direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself personally. Paul got this information, the information that Paul taught here, he received it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Look with me as an example. In fact, hold on to Galatians there, but go with me to Acts 26. I remember some time ago we were talking about this truth that the Lord Jesus Christ personally appeared to the Apostle Paul on several occasions. In fact, when you study through the book of Acts, there's at least 4 to 5 different occasions where the Lord Jesus Christ, where Paul personally sees the Lord Jesus Christ. At least 4 to 5 different occasions. One of them, he was, of course, when he was caught up into paradise, i.e. 2 Corinthians 12. But there's several different times when Paul personally sees the Lord, when the Lord personally appears to him. Once it's at least by vision and so forth. But the other is it's an actual appearance of the Lord himself. Well, this is one of those examples. Acts 26, verse 13. says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, and I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee." We'll come back to that in just a moment. It says here, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Now, what Paul is speaking about here, Luke is, of course, has recorded here the details. Luke's the author of the book of Acts. But what Paul is speaking about here are the details about his conversion. When he saw Christ, he's on the road to Damascus, Christ appeared to him. And look back at verse 16. Christ says to him this, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." Notice he says, "I have appeared." Christ actually, literally, really, and truly appeared to Paul. I had a guy ask me one time, he said, "You know, I never really realized it. I thought it was just kind of that Paul just got his information kind of by dreams or visions or whatever." But he says, "I didn't really realize that Christ actually appeared to Paul." Well, that's what it says here, friends. He says, "I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness." Now watch this. "Both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." So, not only did he appear to the Apostle Paul here, as recorded in Acts 26, that would be the parallel same event in Acts 9 and in Acts 22, by the way. Not only did Christ appear to him here, but he promises to the Apostle Paul that he's going to appear to him at least one more time, because he says, "Both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." So he's going to appear to the Apostle Paul at least one more time. Now, of course, when you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that there are 4 to 5 different occasions when the Apostle Paul receives some direct information from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. One of which, as I mentioned earlier, is when he was caught up into paradise. I'm going to have you turn over to, hold your place in the book of Galatians, but turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and notice with me at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1, and it says this. He says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for man to utter," and so forth. Now, the Apostle Paul is, of course, speaking here about 14 years prior to the time that he writes 2 Corinthians. He writes 2 Corinthians in Acts 19. 14 years prior to the time that he writes 2 Corinthians, he was caught up into paradise. Did you notice that? He's caught up into the third heaven. And he says at chapter 12, verse 1, he says at chapter 12, verse 1, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I," notice, "will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." He's still going to get more. See that? He's still going to get more. "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." He's still going to get more information. When he said, we didn't read it, but when he said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, "For now we know in part, for we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." He's going to get more information. He's going to get the balance of the revelation of the mystery from Christ. Go back with me, if you would, to Galatians now. So when the Apostle Paul tells us where he got this information from, consistently, he says it was from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you will stay there in Galatians, again, verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now watch this. "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Now that would be, timing-wise, that would be in the early chapters of Acts. Okay? Verse 14. "And profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Now watch verse 15. "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace," there's Acts 9. The same account in additional details given in Acts 22 and additional details given in Acts 26. But there's Acts 9. Now why does God do this? Why did God separate Saul? Verse 16. "To reveal his son in me." That's why. God, through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, is making a revelation of Jesus Christ and about Jesus Christ in Paul that was different than what was revealed in the Old Testament and in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He says here, verse 16, "to reveal his son in me." God the Father was making a brand new revelation of and about the Lord Jesus Christ through and in the Apostle Paul. He did this to reveal his son in me. So that is a brand new revelation that God gave about the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, to and in the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. When Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ," Paul followed Christ according to that new revelation. When Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I..." That's why he adds that addition. "Be ye followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ." That's why he adds that little phrase. So you understand that he's not following according to the instructions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but rather, he's following him in accordance with the revelation of the mystery. We'll get to there in just a moment. So look what happens at verse 16, "to reveal a son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem." See, Paul has been out a 3 year period of time here. Paul was out in the Arabian desert out there and then spent some time in Damascus. And do you know anybody else that got any instructions out in the Arabian desert? Yeah, that's right. Abraham did. And who else? Moses did. You see, there's some parallels. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ has committed some brand new information to the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. So when Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ," Paul followed Christ, all right, but he didn't follow him according to the instructions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He followed him in accordance with this brand new revelation, this brand new information that Jesus Christ himself gave to the Apostle Paul. Go with me, if you would, to Romans 16. Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter 16, and notice what it says here. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. It says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel," and watch this, "the preaching of Jesus Christ according to," there's the standard, "the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest." See that? Paul followed Christ in accordance with what he calls here the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. When Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, friends, that's how you and I are to follow Christ today. If we'll follow Paul in terms of how he preached Christ, what he preached Christ, what he preached about Christ, how he lived that doctrine and so forth, then, friends, that is how you follow Christ today. You got to the way you follow Christ today, friends, is not by following him according to the instructions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not how you follow Christ today. That actually would be rebellion. That actually would be disobedience. That would not be a walk of faith to be following Christ according to the earthly ministry of Christ as recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're going to follow Christ today, you got to follow him in accordance with what this verse calls the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began but now is made manifest, and so on. That's, if you're going to follow Christ, that's the only way you can follow. You can't follow Christ today according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not if you're genuine about what it actually says. Not if you care about the actual words there. Look at the church today. Look at people today who are attempting to follow the instructions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't see anybody selling all that they have. Christ told the apostles to sell what they had. Christ, in his earthly ministry, he lived under the law. The middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentiles was still up. When you study the ministry of the Apostle Paul, Paul did not go around preaching, repent, quote, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, end quote. He didn't go around preaching that. The basis of repentance in the Gospels was the kingdom of heaven was at hand. That's not the basis of repentance today, because the kingdom of heaven is not at hand today. The basis of repentance today is you're a sinner and you need a Savior. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only solution, so you need to change your mind as to what you think is going to get you to heaven, what you think is going to make you right in the eyes of God. So Paul, in his when you follow the Apostle Paul today, in order to follow Christ today, you have to follow Christ according to how the Apostle Paul followed Christ. Paul never once prayed the Lord's Prayer. Instead, when you study the prayers of the Apostle Paul, they're quite different than the prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Again, the middle wall of partition. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on this earth, the middle wall of partition was up, and he honored it as such. But you come to the writings of the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul, and that middle wall of partition is clearly down. It's been broken down, taken out of the way, Ephesians 2 says. The Apostle Paul, the commission that he proclaimed, the commission that he followed, was not the commission, the so-called Great Commission of Matthew 28, a commission where he was sent out to baptize the Gentiles, where Christ sent the 12 to baptize the Gentiles and teach them the law. Rather, the commission that Paul followed is called the ministry of reconciliation. Paul says Christ sent him not to baptize. He says we're not under the law. That's different than the commission of Matthew 28. Rather, if you look over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 here, 2 Corinthians, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and notice the commission Paul is fulfilling. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, this is verse 19 now, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is the commission Paul followed. This is the ministry Paul followed. In this commission, there is no water baptism. In this commission, there is no being put under the law. In this commission, there is the one baptism, the baptism whereby God the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the very death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this commission, in this ministry here, you're not under the law, but under grace. So this ministry is different than the ministry and commission of the 12 apostles in Matthew 28. So Paul did indeed follow Christ, but he didn't follow him according to the instructions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Rather, he followed him in accordance with that body of information that God had kept secret since before the foundation of the world, and then revealed it first to and then through the apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle Paul. The apostle Paul followed Christ, but he did not follow him according to preparing Israel to go through that tribulation period. When you study the ministry of the apostle Paul, you find that the church, the body of Christ, actually has been delivered from the wrath to come. It's not going to go through that wrath to come. It's going to be caught up to be with the Lord prior to the resumption of the Jewish kingdom prophetic program. So when you see the apostle Paul speaking to the body of Christ, you don't see anywhere in Paul's epistles that he is preparing the body of Christ to go through the tribulation period. You don't see him in his epistles instructing or leading or guiding the members of the body of Christ to make preparations to go through that time period. Rather, he tells us that, behold, now is the day of salvation. He says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, we don't know how much longer this dispensation of grace is going to continue. We don't know how much longer this dispensation of grace is going to go on. We don't know how much longer this accepted time is going to be extended. We don't know how much longer this day of salvation is going to be extended. But as long as we're here, it means it's still here. As long as we are here, it means the offer is still legitimate and it's still good. And hence people can take advantage of it. So we indeed want to follow Christ. Paul says, be ye followers together of me, even as I also am of Christ. We want to follow Christ. The way that you follow Christ today is that you follow him in accordance with the instructions that he gave to the Apostle Paul. So if you want to know what that looks like, friends, it's pretty simple. All you got to do is just read through and think through Paul's epistles. If you want to know what it means, what it looks like to follow Christ as Paul followed him, all you got to do is just study through Paul's epistles. Think through Paul's epistles. Turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Timothy and chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. If you want to follow Christ today like he wants you to follow him, then you don't go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to follow him there. Rather, you follow him in accordance with the doctrine that he committed to the Apostle Paul for you and me as Gentiles, and specifically as members of the Church of the Body of Christ. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying about this. Am I saying, therefore, that we should not read or study the Old Testament? Am I saying that, therefore, we should not read or study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Am I saying, therefore, that we should not read or study Hebrews through Revelation? Well, of course, I'm not saying that. And any of you that have been part of this ministry for any length of time know that we study all over the Bible. We study in Psalms, in Genesis, Leviticus, Isaiah, Daniel, the Gospels, Hebrews through Revelation. You study all of the Bible, but you study all the Bible from the standpoint of where you are in the Bible. You look at all the Bible, you get the panoramic view, you study the whole Word of God from the standpoint of where you are in the Word of God. And where you and I are in the Word of God is in the dispensation of grace, and specifically in the epistles of the Apostle Paul. So you study all of the Word of God from the standpoint of Paul's viewpoint. As an example, I had you turn over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, but I want you to also get 2 Timothy. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, notice what it says. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8. He says, actually verse 7. 2 Timothy 2, 7 says this, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. If you will consider what the Apostle Paul says about everything that he has anything to say about, if you'll consider what the Apostle Paul says, that is how the Lord gives you understanding in all things, in all the Word of God. If you'll consider all the Word of God from Paul's viewpoint, when I say Paul again, I'm not talking about Paul the man, I'm talking about the mind of Christ. Paul says we have the mind of Christ. His epistles are the mind of Christ. When you consider all the Word of God from the standpoint of the revelation of the mystery that Jesus Christ gave to Paul, that's why he says, consider what I say. He's speaking there as the apostle of the Gentiles. Then that's how the Lord gives you understanding in all things. That's how you can grasp the whole Bible. That's what enables you to understand what's going on in the whole Word of God. And he says, remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David. So it's the same Jesus Christ, the same prophesied Messiah in the Old Testament, the same person. But remember that he was raised from the dead according to what Paul calls my gospel. See that? Quickly, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, verse 16 now, howbeit for this cause, this is 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. See that? Jesus Christ started something new when he saved Saul of Tarsus and appointed him as Paul the Apostle. He started something new in history. Listen, don't misunderstand what Paul's saying there or what I'm saying. That Paul isn't saying he's the first person ever been justified. He isn't saying he's the first person ever been saved. So it's wrong to say that what Paul is... Sometimes people take this verse and say that we are saying that Paul is saying he's the first person ever saved. Well, that's not at all what Paul's saying here. Abraham was a justified guy. Isaac was a justified guy. And so on. Many people were justified before Paul. Paul's not talking about just the doctrine of justification. He's talking about this new program, the dispensation of grace and the formation of the church, the body of Christ. So he says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first. See, Jesus Christ started something. He started the church, the body of Christ, when he saved Saul of Tarsus. That was in Acts 9. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. He ushered in the dispensation of the grace of God when he saved Saul of Tarsus and made him Paul the Apostle. And during this dispensation of grace, he is manifesting this long-suffering in Paul. He manifested it in Paul. So when Paul says, be ye followers together of me, even as I also am of Christ, he's not saying follow him as a man, as a person. Rather, he's saying follow him in the doctrine that was given to him by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, that is called the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And you have the details of that specifically in detail in the writings of the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. We're out of time this morning, friends, and we always like to open this up for questions and answers or comments. And so if you have a question or a comment or a further thought on this, then all you need to do is just raise your hand. Click on the raise hand icon. It'll put a hand up next to your name. We'll certainly give you the microphone. And then ask your question, and we'll go ahead and ask your question or make your comment, and then we'll go ahead and... Trophimus, how are you doing today? Let me release the microphone, and it's yours.
Good morning, John. One of the best presentations I've seen on the distinctive ministry of Paul. But I do have a question that nags at me in Romans 16, 25, and 26. Just a second here. The latter part of 25, he says, you know, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets. My question is, this was kept secret, and it's now being made manifest, and by the scripture of the prophets, and it's plural, prophets. My question is, I realize Paul's epistles contain the mystery. What other prophets?
Okay, excellent question, and it's important that we do take the time to clarify this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to 2 Timothy 2. Again, an excellent question. And it's most of the time when you hear people pointing that out in Romans 16:26, unfortunately, it's from folks unlike yourself who are opposing this message. And see, they say, see, right there, it was hidden in the Scripture and so forth. And, you know, when you ask it that way, and again, like I say, unlike yourself, because you're not asking it from an opposition standpoint, you're saying, hey, help me understand this a little bit better. When you ask it in an opposition way, it's very, you know, you close your mind to see it. But like you're asking, you say, hey, help me understand this or give me some insight on this and so forth. All right, watch this. Look back at 2 Timothy 2:7. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So if we understand Paul's ministry, it's Paul's ministry that allows us and enables us to understand all the rest of the Bible. When you see the revelation of the mystery, when you study Paul's epistles, contained in Paul's epistles is the key as to how to understand the Old Testament and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Hebrews to Revelation, right? So, when you go back to Romans 16, we need all of the Word of God, Genesis through Revelation, in order to be established. You need all of it. And that's Paul's point, verse 25 and 26 together. He says, now to him that has the power to establish you. And then there's a threefold establishment here. Number one, according to my gospel. There's the basic. That's number one. Notice you've got comma, and here comes number two. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And here comes number three. And by the scriptures of the prophets, the Old Testament, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. We need all of the Word of God in order to be established. But you need Paul's epistles, you need Paul's insight in order to understand all things. So it's like this. You know how when you get into an airplane, you're on the ground, you're on the tarmac or whatever, and so you're viewing it from ground level. You're viewing the surroundings from ground level, the buildings, the cars, the people, the airport. And as that airplane takes off, your perspective changes because your elevation changes. So the higher you go, you get a broader view of everything. You can see, you know, much further distance and so forth. Well, when you get Paul's gospel down, that's step number one, what he calls my gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, what it exactly is and the distinctiveness of it. Okay, now you got that. Now you keep building on that, the details of the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. So you've moved on from, for example, Romans, and now you're moving towards Ephesians in the doctrinal edification, right? And so now once you have that heavenly place viewpoint, now you can kind of look down Genesis 2 Revelation and you can say, oh, I got the whole picture now. So it takes the scriptures of the prophets to flesh out the edification process. You got to have, so that reference to the scriptures of the prophets is just that. It's the Old Testament. It's the prophetic program is what it is. And you need all of that in order to be established. Oftentimes you will hear grace people, and it is a popular viewpoint among certain grace people, at verse 26 when it says, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets. They'll say that that's the prophetic writings, that that's Paul's prophetic utterances. That's kind of a common viewpoint around some grace people, and that's dispensationalists. But I don't think at all that that's what Paul is saying there, because again, God wants us to understand the whole Bible, but the way to understand the whole Bible is you have to have Paul's perspective. That's why 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. If you'll consider Paul's epistles teach us how to understand the Old Testament. Romans, as an example, Romans 9, 10, 11, that teaches us how to read the Old Testament, how to answer the question, what about Israel? Is there a future for Israel? Paul's epistles tell us how to read Hebrews through Revelation, and so on. So that's you know, how I view that phrase. Trophimus, let me give you the microphone back for any additional thoughts or comments. There you go.
Thank you, John. I see your point. What threw me was that it was, you know, in the latter clause in 25, it says, you know, which was kept secret since the world began. But I'm seeing your point now. It wasn't that the mysteries found in the Old Testament prophets. It's our perspective of what the prophets wrote from this vantage point of Paul's epistles, like Romans 3:25, we can understand better now what they couldn't have understood without the mystery, which I consider 3:25 part of the mystery. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. That always gave me a nagging problem. You're right. A lot of grace dispensationalists want to hold that it's, you know, Paul's writings. I just couldn't go along with that, but I couldn't fit why the prophets in the plural, you know, and kept secret since the world began. I know darn well that the mystery isn't found in the Old Testament prophets. But yeah, I see your point. It's the perspective we have when we go back and we study the Gospels and Genesis to Malachi and Hebrews to Revelation, that we have that perspective. Thank you.
Yeah, that is exactly right. It's interesting to think about that without Paul's ministry, there is no answer as to why 2,000 years ago the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Peter said that Joel's prophecy came to pass, a portion of it started to be fulfilled. Well, what happened to all that? That was 2,000 years ago. So it takes Paul's epistles, it takes Paul's explanation as to the delay, etc., that type of thing. You have to have Paul's epistles or else there is no answer as to why the kingdom of heaven was at hand, but it never showed up. And again, that's the whole issue in Romans 9, 10, 11. So it's Paul's epistles that teach us how to read that, and therefore give us the proper perspective. It's Paul's epistles that teach us to be a dispensationalist. But Paul is not the first dispensationalist, of course, by any means. But Paul's epistles give us the proper dispensational perspective so that we indeed can go back and understand that Old Testament. And, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is still part of the Old Testament. And then Hebrews through Revelation. And we need all the Word of God to be fully established and so forth. So hopefully that helps there. Great, Trophimus, great question. I appreciate you asking that question. Very good. It's good for all of us. Any other questions or comments at this time? Any other questions or comments at this time? Well, once again, let me remind you that we will be back on our next live session, 7:30 tonight. We're going to continue to study and look specifically at the mind of Christ, His thinking process. We've been doing a little excursion on the battle for your mind, and we're going to see the battle that raged in the mind of Christ and how He was able to have the victory, and therefore why you and I can rest in His victory. And so we'll study that tonight. Friends, thanks so much for being with us. As always, remember, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Thanks. See you tonight. Bye-bye.